Amen. Thank God. What a joy to know that. Amen. I want you to look with me, please, in John chapter 4. We've been dealing with the words of our Lord Jesus Christ written in red. And I've been on this particular passage now for a couple of Sundays. We look first of all at the story of the woman, the Samaritan woman, and how the Lord dealt with her, and she came to know Christ. She came empty and thirsty and left satisfied and rejoicing and telling others about it and what God did for her. And then last Sunday, I preached on where she mentions worship and the Lord speaks to her about worship. I thought I was through, but as I began to pray and look this week, the Lord laid something on my heart in regard to another thought here in this passage of Scripture. Will you look with me, please, at verse 28. The Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with this woman, and she now takes the water pot and she leaves her water pot and she goes back to town. And she says in verse number 28, the Lord says, the woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and said unto the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. They had gone into the village. They had gotten food for him to eat. And so now they have that food, and they say, Master, eat. But he says, verse 32, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would give me your touch and anointing. Thank you, our Father, for the congregational singing this morning, for the beautiful singing of the choir, Lord, of the youth, the children's choir this morning, and then for Brother Roland. Lord, thank you for touching him. What a song. God, what a message that you're in control regardless of what happens. And God, I ask now the Holy Ghost of God to minister through me once again. I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts. And God, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would, Lord, deal with every need in this building. You're a great God. You made a promise that you'd meet every need that we have according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And God, I know you could do that. Lord, there's some who need comfort, some who need encouraging, some who need the forgiveness and cleansing from their sin to be saved. Some, our Father, who've become cold and indifferent. And I pray, God, that today the Holy Spirit of God would speak to them. Some, our Father, earnest Christians who love you, who are trying to decide your will for their life. And God, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God would help. Our Father, I bow before you and confess this morning that there's no good thing in me. And God, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit this morning, nothing of eternal consequence to take place. But God, these are your people. You're mindful of all them, all those that are here, from the youngest to the oldest. And God, I'm glad that you love us individually. The very hairs of our head are all numbered. And God, I pray you'd speak a word to every person here, and we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. While I was recognizing guests, I forget to mention, I saw Brother Wayne and Ms. Jackie over here. We're sure glad that they're here. Thank the Lord for them being in the services as well. Some time ago, I was somewhere, actually it was in a camp meeting, and one of the preachers there said, I've just come from the happiest place in the world. And of course, he'd been to Disney World. I don't know if you ever heard that or not, but they describe Disney World as the happiest place in the world. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I'm not going to say that. I'm pretty happy if I'm on a pond somewhere. But, you know, there is a place that I really believe is the happiest place in the world for Christians. Is it heaven? Well, that's going to be wonderful. I have not seen, ear not heard, neither in the heart of man, things God prepared for them to love him. But the Spirit has showed us glimpses of it. And to be sure, that's going to be a happy day. Oh, happy day, that old song they used to sing, oh, happy day, oh, happy day. Oh, what it's going to be like when we get to heaven, that's going to be a happy day. But I'm going to tell you the happiest place in the world for a Christian is right here in this little narrative that I just read to you. It is in the perfect will of God. I don't care where you live, if you're in Idaho or if you're in South Carolina, or if you're in North Carolina or Canada, if you're in the will of God, it's going to be the happiest place you've ever been in all your life. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to do the will of the Father. He, in this passage of Scripture, you see, as He deals with this woman, and as they've gone in the food, into the town to bring Him food back, He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And what He's saying to them is this. He said, I was hungry physically, and as a man clothed in human flesh, he did become weary, he became tired, he became thirsty, he became hungry. And no doubt he was hungry physically. But he found something, and something happened to him right there. He found substance and he found satisfaction in the will of God that satisfied the other cravings of his life. Now, he's not saying that we shouldn't have bread. He said in the book of Deuteronomy, then our Lord repeated his own temptation. And he said this, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You and I need bread, we need food, but we also need primarily the Word of God. And just as food will satisfy the physical need of your life, the Word of God will satisfy the spiritual need of your life, and it'll bring you joy. There's nothing like being in the will of God. You don't have to be rich, you don't have to be poor, as long as you're in the will of God. You can be rich and be miserable. You can be poor and be miserable. But if you're in the will of God, wherever you are, and you know that, there's a sense of joy, there's a sense of peace that you can't find anywhere else. It's in the will of God, to know that you're in the will of God. It was the Lord's will, God's, the Father's will, for Him to be talking here with this woman. And matter of fact, as you go through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd find that Brother Mitchell uses this phrase, He's all about. Jesus was all about doing the will of the Father. I want to show you a verse or two. Look with me, please, in chapter 5. You have your place in chapter 4. Hold that. But turn over to chapter 5 and look at verse number 30. And listen to what he says in verse number 30. He said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Jesus testifies that I came to do the will of the Father. Look over in chapter 6 and look at verse number 38. Chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last days. Go a little further over into chapter number 8, over and over again. Our Lord, He's all about doing the will of the Father. In chapter 8 and verse 29, He makes this statement. He said this, and He had sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, but I do always those things that please Him. He's always about doing and pleasing the Father. To sum it all up, look in chapter number 17. This is the high priestly prayer of our Lord just before He is going to be tried and put to death and die and be resurrected. And He says in John 17, look at verse 4, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And in the garden, you know the prayer, Father, not my will, but Thine be done. He lived doing the will of God. He died surrendering and yielding to the will of God, the Father in His life. And the Lord Jesus Christ was all about doing the will of God. You and I, as a Christian, and those of you who are not yet Christians, need to understand something about the will of God. Here in this passage of Scripture, the Lord says in regard to the will of God, He said, I've come to do His will. And He said, I've come to finish that work. And He said, it gives me great joy and great satisfaction. You'll find in your Christian life that when you come to that place where you are yielded to His will, surrendered what He wants you to do, and it may not make any sense to anybody else but God, maybe not even to you in the beginning, but you'll find there is a deep sense of joy and peace in that that you won't find anywhere else. Consequently, if you live outside the will of God, you'll always have a sense of restlessness and lack of peace, lack of joy. And so we need to know something about the will of God. Quickly this morning, and as I prayed and studied this week, I said, man, listen, there's no way I could get share with all of the people what God has spoke to my heart about. And any subject in the Word of God, it's impossible in a matter of moments, a few minutes to share it. But I want to say something to you, first of all, about the nature of the will of God. What about the nature of the will of God? You see, God created everything in this world. There's a purpose for the sun. There's a purpose for the stars, the moon. There's a purpose for rain. He has a purpose for everything in this world. He's sovereign. He didn't ask anybody what color to paint an elephant or what color to paint a giraffe or who to make tall, who to make short. He's sovereign in his will. He just decided in his infinite wisdom and knowledge, this is my will. This is what I'll do. He's sovereign. Nobody tells him what to do. Nobody dictates to him what he's to do. He's sovereign in his will. Now, with that said, as he deals with me and you, there are some aspects of his will that I want to share with you. How do you know the will of God? What is the will of God for your life? Well, in the first place, I just mentioned this in passing, and I'll make reference to it again. The Bible said he's not willing that any should perish. It is his will that you be saved. If he came in this building this morning, he would not look around this building and pick out anybody and say, I want you to go to hell. 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 He's not willing that any should perish. His sovereign will is this, that all come to me. I read it to you. He said, this is the will of God, that whosoever looketh on the Son and believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It is his will that you be saved. But let me give you just a few little things to kind of get in your mind so far as a Christian's concerned. And if, in the first place, it's what I call the proclaimed will of God. There is the proclaimed will of God in this Bible. And you say, Brother Billy, I'm a Christian. I want to do his will. What must I do? Well, it's proclaimed in this book. You don't have to look far for it. You don't have to look. There's some things he's already just spelled out in this book for you that are already proclaimed for you. He said this. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's his will. It's his will that you pray and commune with him. He said, call upon me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. That's his will. It's will for you to pray. So if you don't pray, you're not operating in his will. The men ought to pray about everything. Everything that you do, every decision you make about your college education, where you're going to live, or your life's mate. I know that there have been a lot of people who've made mistakes, a lot of errors, because they did not get God's will. But in this Bible, there are some proclaimed things in regard to the will of God that you don't even have to pray about. You don't have to pray about praying. He said, your men ought always to pray and not to faint. And there's so many through there that he talks about. He said, you ought to love one another. You don't have to pray about loving anybody. That's the will of God for you, to love people and to care one for another and to exhort one another. That you don't even have to pray about. Those are the proclaimed wills of God in here. You don't have to pray about whether or not you ought to give to the Lord. That's a part of worship. And he proclaims that in the Word of God. You can read it in black and white, that he expects his people to give offerings to him. Not because he needs anything. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. But it's for your benefit, for your blessing. But he said, if you'll give, it'll be given unto you. And so it's a return on your investment in the cause of Christ that he's looking for. He wants to bless you in that way. There's the proclaimed will of God in here. And you don't even have to look hard to find them. They're all through this book. And you ought to be a witness, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You don't have to pray about witnessing it. You're supposed to be a witness. And our young people and Charles and all those who went with him yesterday at the Mule Day Parade, they gave out 1,200 CDs. They witnessed to 1,200 people just hand to hand by giving them a CD. But their testimony was greater than that to the hundreds of other people there. They gave out 2,700 flyers about Judgment House. That's the will of God for them for that day. But there's a proclaimed will of God. But let me just say this to you. There is what I call not only the proclaimed will of God, but there is the permissive will of God. Now, that may not be a term you find in the Bible, but he's sovereign. He has a will. and whatever he does. But there's a permissive will of God. I was sitting in my office this morning praying about the message, and I looked out back. We've got, there's 25 acres of land here. Our church sits on 25 acres of land. Highway 50 here, Zaxmere here, Interstate 40. We go all the way back to Interstate 40. And right behind our church is a little play area. It's got a fence in there. It's got a slide and swing and a lot of play areas in there. And all these wonderful children that were up here. There's not one of you who would take your child and come over here on 25 acres of land and just turn them loose and say, you go do anything you want to do. You can go anywhere you want to go, do anything you want to do. Because not one of them, they might go by there, but they're not going to stay. They're going to be in a swamp. They'll be out here where the cattail pond's out near the road. You'll have to tackle them. They'll be in Zach's Mill. They'll be on Highway 50. Next thing you know, they think it'd be fun to go look over the bridge here on 40. Maybe even walk on the rail across Interstate 40. That's the way kids are. But there's an enclosure, and if you go out there and it's fenced in and you take your child and you put them inside there and you stand on the outside, you watch them, they are in your permissive will. They can play on the swing, they can go up the slide, they can do those things. There are parameters for that permissive will. Not the whole 25 acres, but just that one area. And God has a permissive will for your life. There are certain things that He'll let you do. Some decisions in His permissive will are bad. They're really bad. He'll allow you to make some really, really bad decisions. Can I get a witness? I'm going to raise both hands. I have made some really, really bad decisions in His permissive will. There are some that are good in His permissive will. Some things you do that are good in His permissive will. There are some things that are better in His permissive will. It's not bad, and it's not just good, it's better. But then there are some that are the best. Even His permissive will, He'll let you do the best in His permissive will. So God lets you make bad decisions sometime to teach you a lesson. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. He'll let things happen in your life because of what I was reading in the Old Testament again this week, reading the book of Daniel, and he said that he says to them that your sin has caused this in your life. Your bad decisions has brought all this judgment on you. But not only is there the proclaimed will of God and the permissive will of God, but thank God there is the perfect will of God. For every individual in here, God did not create you, wind you up, and let you go on your own. He has a perfect will for every person's life in this building. He's got a will for your life. It may not be what He has for anybody else, but it's yours. It's your. God loved you. He created you. He died to save you. You're not a number. You're not a statistic. You're His precious child. He's got a perfect will for your life. Everybody is not going to be a preacher. Everybody's not going to be a doctor. Everybody's not going to be a lawyer. Everybody's not going to be a farmer. Everybody's not going to be whatever. But aren't you glad that God, in His perfect will, does have some in law enforcement? Aren't you glad that God, in His perfect will, has some to serve as soldiers? Aren't you glad that there's some that God leads to run grocery stores? Aren't you glad that there are some people that God leads to be in the medical profession? I'm glad that God uses everybody in His own will and for your own life, whatever it is. I'm sure glad that there are people that God gave gifts to build homes and houses and to do electrical wiring and to put in heat and air conditioning. And just as surely as God calls a man to preach or to go to the mission field, God has called that person and equipped that person, and then that is their will, His will for their life to do that. And what a blessing it is to do that and to be in God's will. And if you're in God's will, that's the happiest place you'll ever be, in God's will. There is the proclaimed will of God. That is, God's already told us in the Bible certain things that we're all supposed to do. There's the permissive will of God, that God lets us operate in the parameters of His permissive will to make decisions on our own, good or bad. There's that perfect will of God that God has for us that, that would be the ideal of our of His will in our life, and we'll find perfect happiness there. And then there's what I call the prophesied will of God, and that is things that happen prior to mine, your getting on the scene, and things that are happening after. It was His will for Jesus to be born of a virgin, and He was. It was God the Father's will for Him to be born in Bethlehem, and He was. It was God the Father's will for Him to suffer and bleed and die on the cross, and He did. It was God's will for Him to be buried in Joseph's tomb, and He was. It was the Father's will, prophesied will, for Him to rise again the third day according to the Scriptures, and He did. Thank God for that. It was the Father's will that He ascend back to heaven and there to wait till He makes all of His enemies His footstool, and He will. It is His prophesied will that the dead in Christ will rise. It is His prophesied will that the rapture of the church will take place. It is the prophesied will of God that we'll meet our loved ones in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It is His prophesied will that there will be a new heaven and there will be a new earth and there will be eternity where you and I will never experience sickness or sorrow or pain again. That's going to happen. That's His will. That's going to happen. The nature of His will, in first place, is sovereign. The second thing I say to you this is that His will is selective. What I mean by that, I mean this. I mean that God has a special plan for everybody in this building. He has a plan for your life. I don't know what it is, but in not a one-time deal, but a lifetime deal of the will of God. And there's several elements, and I'm just mentioning these real quick, and I know my time's gone, but listen, it's the will of God for you to stay here a few more minutes. Believe that. God's selective will for your life involves several things. It involves, first of all, your yieldingness. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, I came to do His will. And to yield your life to Him, He has a will for your life, but you are to yield. I made reference to this some time ago. I repeated it down at the camp at Anna Roof a few years ago. I was listening to a CD by Brother Avery Rogers about a different subject, but he told the story about he was invited one time to preach in a conference to pastors. And the director of the conference asked Dr. Avery Rogers to preach on the surrender to Christ, to surrendering to Christ. And he said, I can handle that. And he began to share the Bible. And to his amazement, he found that not one time in this Bible does it say you're to surrender to Christ. Not once. It says yield to Him. What's the difference between surrender and yielding? Surrender comes after a battle and a conflict, someone's been conquered. A yielding is a willingness of the mind and heart to yield. You defeat enemies and they surrender. But you win the love of a young woman and she yields. That's the difference. It's not a matter of conflict, it's a matter of yielding to Him. Not my will, but thine be done. Whatever God wants you to do, wherever God wants you to be. And then there's a question of timing in regard to some things in His will. Now listen very carefully. What God's put in my heart may affect you for the rest of your life. There's a timing in God's will. There are times that Paul wanted to go one place, but he said, I have hitherto been hindered. God had a plan. God didn't want him to go. Personally, when I was pastoring in Valdosta, Georgia, a pulpit committee from this church came down and they talked to me and about coming up here. And we came up here and we preached. I felt like the first time I ever came, it was the will of God to be here. And so the church had a meeting and they voted and they did not vote to call me. I remember where we were at and when Brother Barry Barber called me and Regina and he told us that I'm surprised, but the church did not vote to call you. And I was kind of disheartened. I felt like, well, I missed the will of God. I didn't got where I don't even know His voice. But he said, wait. He said, we believe there was a situation that might have affected some people's vote. We want that clarified and we want to vote again. And so guess what? After a month, they voted again. By that time, the church at Valdosta knew what was going on. I've talked to them And I told him that, you know, we've been praying about a move to North Carolina. I went and talked with our deacons individually, and not one of them said it's the will of God for me to leave. They didn't think I was through there. They wanted me to stay. Been there 7 years. Then they voted the second time. Guess what? They didn't vote me in then. And that's months have gone by now. And they called me later in October. I believe it was October. And said, we've been praying. We've had other men in. We just can't get any release. We still believe it's the will of God that you come. And I said, well, we want to vote. I said, well, it's all right to vote, but I'm not coming back up there. If you vote, then you vote. I told our church at Valdosta on that Sunday morning what happened. I said, they're going to vote again. Then you pray for the will of God. The church voted to call me here. They called me and said, we feel like it's the Lord's will for you to come. I said, well, good. I said, now I need 30 days to pray and make sure it's the will of God. And so it's about a whole year process of coming here. I felt like from the very beginning it was the will of God. But it was a timing issue. I don't know exactly why, but it all transpired and we came in February. February, I'll be here 22 years. And I'm convinced that what God did is because it was the will of God. Not me, but the will of God. I talked with our church down there and I told them, I said, if it's God's will for me to go to North Carolina and I don't go, it'll be the worst thing ever happened to this church and the worst thing ever happened to me and my family and the worst thing ever happened there. If they don't call me, but whatever the will of God is, we want to do the will of God. And so that's the way it happened. But it was a matter of timing. A lot of times young couples have made a mistake. They've got involved with the wrong person. I believe they married the wrong person because it was God's timing. You need to know God's timing. And all of these things come by being intimate with Christ. I'm not going to deal with this further later, but I want to make sure I get said what I felt like God wanted me to say today. Not only is it a matter of yieldedness to His will, a matter of timing, but there's another thing I want to say to you in regard to that. It has to do with the idea of your gifts and talents. You see, God will equip you to do what He wants you to do. Amen. You don't make decisions based on whether you think you can or not. You just yield to Him. And whatever He wants you to do, He'll do in your life. If He wants you to be a doctor, or if He wants you to be a lawyer, be an accountant, He'll give you those gifts. And you can use your life to count for Him, honor Him. God will equip you. God will give you what you need to do that. The will of God in its nature, the will of God in its nourishment. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Doing the will of God is the most satisfying thing you're ever experienced in your life. I've already said that. I don't want to repeat myself too much. But I'm just telling you, for whoever you are, whatever your name is, wherever you're going to be, it in His will is where you'll find your perfect peace and your perfect joy. Understand this. Brother Roland just sang a song that goes perfectly with what I'm saying. It does not mean that in the perfect will of God, you will not go through a storm. It does not mean that in the perfect will of God, you will not experience pain. It does not mean that in the perfect will of God, you will not have problems. But it does mean you'll have peace and you'll have joy. And God will give you victory in spite of all it. It does not mean that you'll be rich nor poor. There are plenty of people who have very little of this world's goods, and yet they have a great sense of joy and peace. They just happy as they can be. They don't know any better. They don't know what it's like to be rich. Oh yeah, they do. But they know what joy is too. They have it. They have it in their heart. Brother Mitchell and them, when they went to Suriname, he said, it's amazing those kids down there. They don't have anything like our kids here have. And he said, they're the happiest little kids you ever seen in your life. I mean, they just live in the jungle, but they're happy. And they know those who know Christ, they're happy. They don't have the material things, but they have Christ. And that makes all the difference in the world. What must you do about the will of God? Why is it important for you to know the will of God? Number one, because God wants to get glory out of your life. God wants to get glory out of your life. If whatever His will is for your life, how many of you ever thank God for a physician or a doctor? Raise your hand. You have. I have. I'm thankful that sometimes when you're sick, God's a great physician, He is. But I'm glad they've got the right person at the right place at the right time. Bobby Langdon had a massive stroke with paralysis, not able to speak. They immediately went in, went up, and took out a blood clot. That's the first time I've ever known him do it. I've known him be in the hospital and haven't given that, but that saved his life. I'm thankful that whether that man knows it or not, he was operating in the will of God. I'm thankful. And for you to understand this, God's will in your life brings glory to Him. He'll get the glory. Second thing, your personal blessings are dependent on your being in the will of God. You being in the will of God, and it's a blessing to experience the blessings of God. I mean, when it's the gates are wide open and the joy and the peace flood your soul, then, my dear friend, that's what makes the difference in your life. Your personal blessings depend on you being in the will of God. And then being a blessing to other people depends on you being in the will of God. It's a pretty good crowd here this morning. We've got a bunch of pictures at the house. We did some cleaning out and rearranging, and Brother Johnny came, put us a floor down. Daryl came, helped us paint our family room. But I took all our pictures out of something, and then we got them all stacked up everywhere. Regina's got a bunch of albums full. But we were just looking through some of them last night. And some of these married young people in here with children now, they were little bitty 22 years ago. And I think about God's will for my life and the folk who've been saved and how God's added and how God's blessed. And if the church hadn't been in the will of God and I hadn't been in the will of God, probably none of that would have ever happened. And your being in the will of God not only glorifies God, it not only blesses you, but it will affect all those around you. Here's a woman who went in the middle of the day because she was embarrassed, because probably nobody else would have anything to do with it. Been married 5 times, shacked up with a guy. But she met Jesus. He was in the will of the Father. It was the will of God that she'd be there, the will of God that she'd get saved. She went back into town. It was the will of God. She told in town what He'd done for us, and the town came out, and many of them got saved at her testimony, but many more came out and got saved when they heard Jesus speak. One woman in the will of God. It blesses other people when you're in the will of God, and the effect it has on you and the effect it has on all those around you and what God does. And then the last thing I say to you is this. Jesus said this about the will of God in His own personal life. I do always those things which please the Father. The will of God in your life will bless you. It'll bless others. It'll glorify Him, but it'll please Him. And one of these days, you'll stand before Him, and we'll at the judgment seat, we'll receive those things done in our body, whether they were good or bad. But for some, He'll say this, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done." I was thinking about it. I kind of turned that around, and I wrote this, "Well done." When His will is done, it will be well done when you stand before Him. Will you bow your heads in prayer for a moment? I'm interested in trying to be a help to God's people. One of the things that people talk to me more, maybe as much as anything else, is the will of God in their life. On one occasion, when I felt like God called me to preach, I talked to my pastor, Brother Earl Shotwell, about it before I ever made anything public, before I ever publicly surrendered. And I said, Brother Earl, I feel like God's calling me to preach. He made a simple statement to me. He said, if you can do anything else in the world and be happy, do it. You know what he was saying? You only find happiness in the will of God. You only find that peace in the will of God. Knowing His will and doing His will is where you find happiness. It's the happiest place in the world is in the will of God. Our Heavenly Father, I don't know every heart and life in here, but You do. Our Father, they're so special to You that You gave Your Son that they might have everlasting life. You know every little boy, every little girl, every teenager, every young adult, every senior. You know everybody in this building. You knew them before they were ever formed in the womb. You had a plan for them when Your Son died on the cross. He bore their sins in His own body on the tree that they might be saved. Many, our Father, have in faith believed that and been saved. But God, Your will for them didn't quit then, and Your will was for their whole life. Many, our Father, have yielded to You and followed Your direction. You've put in their heart what You wanted them to do, whatever occupation it is, that they are a blessing and a benefit to others. They glorify You. They receive blessing themselves. They are a blessing to others. And most of all, our Father, if that's Your will for their life, when they stand before You, that You'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would move here this morning. God, there may be some who are battling. And God, I pray that they'll quit battling and just yield. And let You speak to their heart, let You direct them. And then in faith, respond. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would move in their heart and life. I pray, God, that You'd make it real. And God, that they know the joy and peace of being in the will of God. And our Father, I do know this. It's not Your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, it's Your will that every boy and girl, man and woman in this building go to heaven. And I pray right now that, God, You'd make it real to them that You love them personally. You died for them personally. And that they personally have to receive Your Savior, not because mom and dad did or grandma or anybody else, but they have to repent and relieve for themselves and be saved today. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to make it real. Deal with them, drawn by Your grace, and save them. Now, while we're praying in this building, dear friends, let me ask you a few questions. And God's real. He's right around and right where you are. If you're here today and you say to me, Brother Billy, and also my friends in the media audience, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Can I tell you right now that God has no pleasure in the death of the ungodly? The devil testifies in the drama that that's the place God prepared for him. The Bible says it clearly. Hell's prepared for the devil and his angels. He didn't intend for you to go there. He intended for you to be in heaven. If you go there, it'd be because you followed Your will and not His will. But if you're here today and you say, Preacher, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I'd love to do that. Would you raise your hand? Nobody's looking but me. Put your hand right back down. Say, Preacher, pray for me. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Anybody like that in the building? How many of you here this morning, you are saved? And you say to me, Brother Billy, I'm so thankful that I know I'm saved. And I do know this from the Word of God and from what You've said this morning and from my own experience. God has a perfect will for my life. My decisions in life, I've made good ones and made bad ones. But I want to be in the perfect will of God. I want to yield to Him. I want to, whatever my life's calling is, I want to do it, whatever, with all my might for the glory of God. I want to honor Him in it. I want to be a blessing. And I want Him to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to do the perfect will of God. Would you raise your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. Heavenly Father, I raise my hands this morning I'm so thankful for the prayers of these precious people here in this church for me and my family, for the perfect will of God in my life. And I pray for the perfect will of God in their life. And God, I pray, God, that, Lord, together we can love you and serve you. So many different means and other ways, our Father. I'm thankful for your calling on those who are in law enforcement, those who are in the teaching professions, those who are in medical professions, those who are farmers, those who are housewives, those who are carpenters. God, whatever their life's work is, God, I believe with all my heart that you had a plan for their life. You gifted them. You gave them talents and abilities to do those things for your glory. And God, help them to understand that they are just as much in the will of God as a missionary in the forest field. God, I pray they'll honor you in it and give you glory and give you thanks for everything that happens in their life. And God, I'll thank you and praise you. Now meet with us, Lord. We'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name.